Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, This is Our Time of Deliverance, from the Chronicles of Exodus.
Chapter 3. Let me get into the word. Exodus chapter 3. And when you have the word, say, I have the word. Exodus chapter 3, Elder Natira, would you help me? Amen. Verse 1 through 10, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians. And again, I promise y'all, I'm going to be cognizant of what time I've used already. All right? The word is very clear today. It's very concise. It's to the point. But hang on to the end, because 1 Corinthians, God showed me something that I had not seen, amen, hitherto. Amen. Let's read, Elder Natira.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good land and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
First Corinthians chapter number 16. When you have the word, say, I have the word. First Corinthians chapter 16, for a correlating scripture. One verse and one verse only. No, I'll do two. Two verses and two verses only. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 9 and 10. For a great door and an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Don't just hear a great door. Hear many adversaries. All right. For a great door, an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, if Timothy is come, see that he may be with you without fear. We got some Timothys that want to go with us to a whole new place, but fear got them right now. God, help me, Holy Ghost. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I do. God has opened the door. Father, thank you for the word that we will now minister. Give me articulation of speech. Let me speak through the power of the Holy Ghost. You see who you've brought here today. You know what they need to hear. But most importantly, you know what you want to say. So use these lips. Use my words. But articulate your message. Say what you want to say, that you might be mighty to heal, you might be mighty to deliver, and you might be mighty to save. This is our time of deliverance. You've come to set the captive free. So whatever has held us, whatever has placed us in the bondage, by the time we finish ministering today, let every shackle now come loose. Let every ideology that held us, let everything that was problematic, let it be erased, eradicated, and destroyed by the anointing that only you release. Speak, Lord, and your children, us, we shall obey. This is our prayer, and we We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Minstrel, psalmist, y'all can be released. All right. Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard the cry of their reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows. I know what they're complaining about. I know what now is now too difficult for them to handle. Listen what he says in verse number 8. He says, for I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the place of the Hittites and the place of the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I'm going to come back to this. Amen. So please pay attention to it. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee into Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is our time of deliverance. And for the second lesson, God has opened the door. In Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Let me read that again. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. I believe with all of my heart, God is ready to give us simple instructions of his way and of his instructions that we may then go to or journey into deeper concepts that are now layered. Stay with me. And in the deeper concepts that are layered, he will then take us to unprecedented places that we've never gone before because we embrace the simple instructions. Somebody said to me real loudly, simple instructions. Please hear me, people of God. God is never so deep and complex that his people will lack understanding. He will always bring us back to the simplicity in Christ. So whatever is deep and layered and complex through our obedience to the simple and complex, he'll navigate us into that which is deep, profound, and we could have never understood on our own. Somebody say it with me again, simple instructions. The deep and the profound things of God are misunderstood because we miss something in the simplicity of Christ. Let me say that again, all right? When the deep and the profound and the mysteries now become overwhelmingly confusing, it's because we misunderstood something that was simple and plain and right before our eyes. I don't care how deep, come on, math teachers, help me today. I don't care how deep the math equation gets, if you can understand 2 + 2 = man, I should have had a deeper 4. I can tell y'all are English majors. Some of y'all said 5. All right. And I know I have some math teachers here. If you can understand 2 + 2 = 4, you're on your way to understanding linear equations and all these deep things that most of us have no use for. If you can understand 3 - 1 = 4, okay, y'all making me nervous in here. Then you are on your way to understanding whatever deep concept. Elder Kwesi, you are. What would you get your major in? Let me remember. You got your civil engineering. Anything with an engineer attached to it, they had to understand math. But it starts with what? 3 - 1 = 2. Somehow we've removed this simplicity from understanding God. And we forgot that he told us that I'm going to make my way so plain that even a fool would not err. Because we've not stuck with the simple, some of us are floating in some deep places that we were never supposed to be in. And God is now bringing us back to the simplicity that's found in Christ. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not murder. A lot of this stuff that we're arguing about, even in court system, let's just go back to the simplicity. And then we would know what the law should say. I don't care if it's according to a youth in Baltimore or a baby in the womb. I hear you, Holy Spirit. Be wise when somebody's trying to make something very complex that's quite simple. Generally, when we make it too complex, we might be trying to confuse, that we might mislead. The enemy masters on making complex that he might confuse. I'm going to say that again because somebody needs to hear that. The enemy masters on making complex that he leaves us in confusion. We got to remember what God said. I am not the author of confusion. So whenever I don't know what to do, I don't have to try to figure it out. I go to Jeremiah 33. Ask me concerning things, and I will show you great and mighty things that you did not know. Bible believers, come a little bit closer. God's not trying to get you to figure out life. He's trying to get you to ask about life. God's not trying to get you to figure out what next power move I need to make. No, he's trying to get you to teach you about the power of the cross and the power of the Holy Ghost. Because if, oh God, I feel like preaching, if you ever bring the cross and the Holy Ghost in it, your next move can't be but powerful. Come on, tell somebody, you ain't got to figure this out. You ain't got to figure this out. Just ask me. That's what he said in Jeremiah. He said, just ask me. And I know I'm not the only one. I went down the road and I forgot to ask him. Okay. I'm glad I got two honest people in here. I got down the road and I figured out I'm down here confused because I forgot to ask him. He moves us from the simple to the deeper layer, that to the complex, through beginning with the simple. I believe the obedience that we're going to find now in God is going to transform mortals and mere humans into what Dr. Hinton out of Chicago, the late Dr. Hinton, called God's anointed super breed. I'm going to say that again. I believe this simple obedience, this simplicity that we're finding in Christ, God is about to release an anointed super breed that is going to now transform culture. And they're going to be like Moses in the book of Exodus. They're getting ready to deliver us and now take us into our time of deliverance. Come on, ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you God's anointed super breed? Your answer should be, I'm glad I got three anointed super breeds in here. Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor again. Say, are you a God's anointed super breed? I know some of y'all think I'm taking you through frivolous exercise, but some of y'all in need of help, and you got somebody highly anointed sitting right beside you. I'm almost there. Come on, ask your neighbor again. Say, are you God's anointed super breed? And I need one or two of y'all to respond back. I am, I am, I am, I am. I am. I can pray and I can get you out whatever you're confused about right now. I can lay hands on you and you can recover right now, because the Bible says if you lay hands on the sick, amen, they shall recover. You got somebody sitting right about you that God is raising up. And this is what happens in the book of Exodus. God raised up a Moses that in his day, he is an anointed super breed. I wish I had a little bit more time, because when we begin to read about Moses, God says in Deuteronomy 34, there has not been a man like Moses in all of the earth. He said, I talked to the others one way, but I talked to Moses an entirely different way. Good. God Almighty. Naomi, you pray for me this morning, because I got to move through here. Y'all better be real wise not to put all your friends on the same status level. Oh, God, I feel like preaching right here. Okay, you ain't saying that, but I'm going to keep preaching anyhow. Y'all better be real wise by categorizing everybody because where they work and what degree they have behind their name and what you think you know about them. Because every now and then, good God Almighty, God puts somebody in our place that he ain't talking to them like he's talking to them. God always is wise in placing somebody real near us that can hear God. I don't know about y'all, but I am so thankful, good God Almighty, that I got 2, 3 people, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I better include all of y'all because y'all coming. I got about 100 folks. that if I call, they hear for God. Because when you, and I'm getting to my text, please trust me, when we come to Exodus chapter number 3, one of the most important things for us to understand is that there was a Moses before there could be a deliverance. The name Moses, it means to draw out and to draw out of water. I need to tell somebody in here, because you in the struggle along. Good God Almighty. Preach, Lawrence. I think I will. You are wrestling through stuff you ain't even got to wrestle through. You fighting devils that you don't even have to fight. You messing with stuff that you're not even assigned to mess with, because you fail to realize that right near to you in your, amen, phone contact, there's somebody that you could call that they would pray right now and that thing would be broke. Come on, do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's you. Is it you? 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 Get in Deuteronomy chapter number 34, it describes Moses as a man that God did not talk to like he talked to everybody else. Y'all better please hear me. I did my thesis defense on what is the problem with drifting into a postmodern abyss. And I feel like preaching, y'all. One of the problems with drifting into a postmodern abyss, amen, we are operating out of an enlightenment disbursement that brought us into we all equal. And the most important thing with enlightenment was we moved from community to me, myself, and I. Right. And we fail to realize me, myself, and I at times can't come out of what I'm in. God, Lawrence is preaching it here today. And every now and then, y'all better please hear me, all of us are in stuff that all, Andre boy, yeah, all of us sometimes are in stuff that all we needed to say was Moses. All we needed to say was Moses. Because the way God is talking to your neighbor, it's going to set all of y'all free. God, I got a yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't do that too much. Now, I go Pentecostal on you, all right? And I'm trying to stay Baptist right now, and I'll come back, amen, to be Presbyterian just a little bit later. And I'm definitely not going to leave apostolic out, because I need to lay hands. God. Every now and then, all you needed to say was Moses, because that was his purpose. That was her purpose. And I know he's a man, but I'm gender neutral in how I think about this. Every now and then, one has been drawn out. Good God Almighty. Y'all better please hear me. Every now and then, listen, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you listening? Y'all notice I got on my Morgan colors. I look pretty good, don't I? Every now and then, tell some people, don't y'all hate me. I wore some black and gold on your day, all right? Every now and then, God draws one of us out for the purpose of drawing the rest of us out. Good God. God, preach Lawrence. Every now and then, all I got to do is be thankful enough for what Kwesi went through, get some wisdom of what Kwesi went through, and let Kwesi lay his hands on me, and all I'll do is surpass whatever I was supposed to go through. But this postmodern adrift have brought us into a desire to be self-made. And the truth of the matter, that whole argument is the whole thing is jacked. How are you going to be self-made and you couldn't put yourself in your mother's womb? How are you going to be self-made? You went through a period that the only way you communicated was gaga and mama and nana and saliva hanging out your mouth, but you self-made. That whole argument is a fight because the truth of the matter is none of us are an island and none of us can stand alone. Right. Truth of the matter is you need me and I desperately need you. Truth of the matter, you need the policeman. Truth of the matter, you need the instructor. Truth of the matter, you need your mother. You need your father. Truth of the matter, we need community. But somehow we've gotten to this place that we think we can do this thing alone and all we need to say is Moses. Because one of us was drawn out, that he may draw the rest of us out. Be wise and discerning who's a little further than you are. And I'm not going to be all day. One of the things that I've tried to teach around this house is that when you walk into the room, learn how to measure who are the weighty ones in the room. I want to help something that what we prayed about. Every family have one or two weighty ones. I know who they are, all right? If I want inspiration to be who I'm called to be, I call my mother. If I want inspiration to do what I'm supposed to do, I talk to my daddy. And there's a big difference. If I go to my daddy because I need inspiration to be, daddy will say, just get over it. Come on, be a man. You built for this, that kind of stuff. And right now, I don't need be a man. I need the inspiration of a mother that says, Lawrence, let's talk through this thing. Let's think about this. Have you thought about this? And she's going to touch the emotion. Now, I don't have no emotion, but she's going to touch the emotion side. And what we fail to realize is to maximize on the community that is around us. Because there's a community around us that somebody in the midst of, and I hope y'all are following me, that somebody in the midst of us has already gone through it to bring us out. And that's what Moses does. And I don't want to get too far in there. That's what Moses does. He's thrown into the water. And it seems like he's going to die. And miraculously, the ark that has been prepared for him is found by somebody high in government of that day. And she takes him into her house and calls Moses' mother, now come take for him, take care of him. If God won't bring you out of like that, then you don't know my God that I serve. Anytime he let you be put in and he provided a cart for you to be carried in, it's on because he's going to bring you out. Do me a favor, tell somebody he's going to bring you out. He's going to bring you out. And that's what is happening in the book of Exodus. It is a story of redemption. When we begin to talk about deliverance, deliverance is about redemption. And Exodus is a book that shows us how God redeems, that he can take us to worship, that he can take us to service, that we can now be unto him alone and having no other gods. One of the things that you have to see in Exodus is he was sick and tired of all them other things calling themselves God. And I need to announce to America, God is sort of kind of sick and tired of all this stuff we call God. I wish I had time. Whether it's government, whether it's sports and entertainment, whether it's music, God is so, y'all think that stuff of God, I'm getting ready to show you that stuff ain't got no power. And besides me, there is no other.
So in the book of Exodus, what God is doing, he's trying to show, I got a people that was born for me, but they serving somebody else. God, there's at least five or six of you in here. God is going to come down in this season because he's tired of you serving somebody else. Good God Almighty. Somebody ought to say it, amen, right there. The book of Exodus, one of the things that we see according to C.I. Schofield is that God is now trying to deliver his people unto himself. I'm not there yet, but I'll get there. Whenever God comes down to deliver, the devil always try to make a deal this far and no further. Y'all please hear me. Did anybody ever watch the show Deal or No Deal? When the devil tell you just only you coming out, tell him no deal. Give me five, high five somebody and say no deal. When the devil says you coming out, but your children ain't coming out, you need to open up your mouth and say, no deal. Oh, God, y'all going to catch it in a minute. When the devil even tells you, I feel like it this morning, man. When the devil tells you coming out, but your family ain't coming out, you better look back to him and say, no, I ain't going nowhere to me and my whole house come out to serve the Lord. I believe we're in, even in a season that there are people that are divinely connected to us. We need to slow our roll. I ain't coming out till I bring them with me. In fact, I'm getting real bodacious with my argument. I got Raleigh, North Carolina waiting for us to establish a church. I got Tampa, Florida waiting for us to establish. I got Atlanta, Georgia. Somebody called me last week from Atlanta. When are you coming, Pastor? I met somebody when I was working for the law firm in Brisbane, Australia that told me, whenever you come, I'm going to be your first member. So I got people waiting, but I'm sort of kind of putting them, I hear that preaching, LB. I'm sort of, oh God, I hear that preaching right here. Yeah. I'm sort of kind of putting a hold on it because I don't like the city of Baltimore right now. I don't like the way our government is operating. I don't like the way the mayor's not showing up for town hall meeting. So I'm saying, up, Lord, I'm going. But before I go, I got to go back and get Baltimore. Because I don't want to be free. And then the city where my children live in is now bound. Somebody say real loud, Baltimore is coming with us. Baltimore is coming with us. Exodus is the example of redemption. That if God allows you to put into an ark, that he's now taking you out, he's not going to let the water destroy you. Good God Almighty. He ain't going to let the surrounding water destroy you. He won't, according to the Psalms, he said, not only will the water not destroy you, I won't even let the fire that's all around you. I hear you, Holy Ghost. This is a season that you're going to learn how to dance in the midst of a whole lot of fire.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.